A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him. But the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in the name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I think we all agree this beginning of the Gospel of John is one of the most beautiful parts of all the Scripture, where it sketches out who this Word of God is, who comes into the world that we celebrate today at Christmas. But unfortunately, we live in a world maybe that has gotten a little skeptical and critical of the very idea that we need a Savior to come into the world, or a light to come and shine in the darkness, as the Scripture tells us over and over. So often people today think, we're doing okay, we're doing just fine. And if we're not, eventually science is going to figure out solutions to things, or maybe it's going to be AI. If it doesn't kill us all first, it'll solve all our problems, right? But the modern sensibility is that we really don't have a need of a Savior because, you know, we've explained sin away. And we really don't deal with sin so much as either weakness or some kind of social problem. But every once in a while it hits us right between the eyes and it wakes us up and we can't deny it. And maybe the perfect horrible story is that thing that's been in the news the last few days of the man who set the woman on fire on the F train and watched her burn to death, and passersby who filmed it all and didn't intervene. That wakes us up to the fact that sin and evil never goes away. It keeps coming out. And if we ever needed proof that we need a Savior, it's right there. And if we ever needed any evidence that a Savior makes all the difference in the world and makes life livable, We just had a beautiful experience last night at the Spanish Mass, 7:30. A woman came forward, and we had helped through our pregnancy center, Gianna's house, and she was insistent on baptizing her baby on Christmas Eve because she wanted to name him Gabriel after the angel. She was there with her two teenage daughters and her best friend. But the father of the baby had told her that he was going to be gone if she brought that baby to term. He was pressuring her to have an abortion, and she would hear none of it. And with the help of Gianna's house, she had that baby. And we celebrated last night the triumph of life, the goodness of the Savior. And little Gabriel's a Christian now. And Sarah, the mother, was beaming. And the two older sisters, filled with joy. Yeah, we live in a really broken world that needs a Savior. But that Savior can make our lives meaningful and fruitful. And the amazing thing is that Savior really wants us to be part of it all. He doesn't just wave a magic wand and make things right. He comes to us and he asks us to be collaborators. Last night we read the gospel about the dream that St. Joseph had, where he had been reluctant when he realized Mary was with child and he needed the angel to come and reassure him that the child was of the Holy Spirit, that he would name him Jesus and that he'd be the Savior of his people. Past days we read about Zechariah struggling with the idea that his wife, who's advanced in years, would give birth to John the Baptist. And then he bursts out into a song of praise of God who's kept his promises to us. And we've read about Mary in the gospel too, who gave that perfect yes to God and made it possible for us to have a Redeemer. And she and Joseph couldn't have foreseen all the problems and headaches and chaos, having to give birth in a stable and flee into Egypt. But God wants us all to be collaborators in one way or another. He wants to bring us into this saving action where he sanctifies the world. And even in today's gospel, it says ominously, he came among his own people, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who did accept him, he gave them power to become children of God. To those who believe in the name, who were born not by natural generation or human choice or man's decision, but of God. If we're ready to receive a Savior, he can transform us and change us. And through us, he can change this broken world. He can heal so many hearts. Are we willing to be those people who receive him? To be his instruments and his agents in the world. To bring about healing and renewal. To receive a life rather than extinguish it. To build rather than to break down. That's the power of the Savior. But he depends on us.